across that sea is where you'll find me.
Yeah, what's that from?
It is a song. It's a song.
All those old songs are creepy, like that one you sent me the other day.
What was that?
If you're Danny and Rand, that one? Yeah.
Oh my god, yeah.
It's creepy as fuck, that song. I don't know what it's about, even.
Totally, totally. And that, particularly that line.
That line is horrible, but there's a worse line, which is, hop in the car and take a ride and go see what you can find. I mean, right? The whole thing was, I mean, like, what the fuck?
It is Jamaica.
It made me uncomfortable the first time I heard it.
Yeah, right. And now you've had a chance to think about it.
You need to do a radio show where you, like, list all of those songs that are, like, creepy.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not meant to be creepy.
Yes, that is a genre.
That's a genre.
Totally. And then there's those songs that are kind of meant to be creepy.
Yeah, those are really creepy.
Have you ever heard Psycho by, what's his name? Nowak is his last name. It's a country western song.
Jesus.
But yeah, it's totally psycho. Really, actually psycho.
Speaking of psycho, I finished Night Country, the next True Detective season, HBO Max.
Yeah. You recommend that.
Well, I recommend the series. You know, the bar is set pretty high for me, so, you know, maybe that's why I didn't love the new one. But
Okay.
I didn't love it. I mean, Jodie Foster was great, but I didn't love it. I didn't love it.
But the first season you did.
First season is one of the best standalone seasons on television, I'm telling you.
Okay.
You can't, it isn't even like a series. It's like a long form film that's cut up into like 8 episodes, maybe.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Wow. Yeah, I want to get with that. I don't have Netflix or any of those. I've just got Criterion, which is awesome.
Well, Criterion is awesome. I don't spend enough time on that. So
I do.
Well, you know, it'd be nice if you gave me some recommendations from time to time. You know, hey, check this out.
Are we doing movies?
I don't know. What are we doing?
What are we doing?
I don't know. Not today. I don't know.
Not today, because I've got a list and it's not completely on my mind right now. So, but yeah, Criterion. There's some great stuff. They've got stuff that comes and goes every month or two. They've got a permanent collection there, and a lot of it is just great, great, great. Of course, there's plenty of movies that are not there, and they're kind of B plus more than A plus movies.
The fuck's that supposed to mean?
Well, the very best movies kind of don't wind up. Like, there's some David Lynch stuff, but and including Eraserhead, but there's no Blue Velvet. You know, so some of the best ones, I don't know. Does it take too much money? But of course, the great list of noir, also not the tippy top best film noir, but plenty of film noir that might have escaped you the first time around, like in the 40s rather than 30s. And
so we are doing the movie thing. I don't
okay, let's not, because there's some pretty crazy stuff going on in the world right now. The Navalny shakeout is, well, it was so horrible because he was kind of the hope. As long as he was alive, and if they could get rid of Putin, there was some hope for, you know.
That was a smooth transition. I like that. Yeah. I'm like Navalny. What films did he do? Like, what is he talking about here? Yeah, it is rough. There's a lot of misinformation going on. I think there's, there seems to be a propaganda movement in opposition to you know, Accepted Truth or some kind of, you know, you end up with two sides to a story, even though maybe there is only one side kind of thing.
Well, right. I mean, generally there is only one side, the truth, you know, it's the truth is what it is. But then there's perception and there's what people believe to be the truth. And boy, that's a gap you could drive a, you know, some large vehicle through.
The last thing you want to do to a revolutionary, a dissident, whatever, however you'd like to call it, is kill them.
And I think that's happening. 400 people have been arrested, at least, you know, the day after, just for laying flowers on a memorial. His widow, has come out strong against Putin.
Yeah, she's going to go stand in his spot. And when she's done, someone will stand in her spot. The thing is, if you kill one of those, you create a martyr. And the thing about a martyr lasts forever.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they've done. So he didn't create a martyr out of Prigozhin when he killed him. And I say he killed him because, of course, he did.
I mean, I have to understand the fact I'm never going to go to Russia. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that really is off the table, and I can't imagine it being back on the table.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to see St. Petersburg. I wanted to see Moscow. I wanted to see the world's greatest military museum.
I wanted to meet some Russian punk rockers, you know?
Russian punk rockers.
Which was totally a thing. And it, because, before the fall of the Soviet Union, there were Russian punk rockers. And that was at a time when if you were playing punk rock, that was against the law and you could be arrested. But they were doing, there were punk Russian punk bands any the fuck way.
Which is wild because it's like, let's do this in secret and be as loud as we can.
Yeah, right?
Right.
Right? It was in basements and, you know, and there were parties and there was a scene and it was totally illegal and they did it anyway.
Well, I mean, Metallica did that show in the 80s and a million people showed up to the show. Like a million fucking people.
In
Moscow.
In Russia.
Think. Yeah.
Yeah, Moscow. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And so, you know, you can't arrest a million people, so.
Yeah, you know, all the Russians I've met traveling around have all been awesome.
So that was my experience too.
Ditto, I mean, from Ukraine. People from Ukraine also. Yeah.
Yeah, and ditto, and then the Eastern Bloc. Once the Soviet Union fell, I was, working at DJ and strip clubs, and so tons of Russian women, Ukrainian women, women from the Eastern Bloc. This, you know, so that's a great way to see the USA. You know, because there's a strip club in every town, and you can make pretty good money.
Jesus Christ.
So they did.
Was that a United Nations program?
Yeah, that might have been. But they were awesome. They were really cool.
I mean, and open about their love for America. That was the other thing that always struck me is that, I mean, you could see it in their eyes. You know, there's two different Russias. We need to understand that. There's Russia and then there's, you know, television Russia.
Yeah. So that's, because a lot of people, you can see that a lot of people were on board for the invasion of Ukraine. He's got to do it. You know, it's, we don't want to, but we got to do it.
Well, a lot of people that they stuck a camera in their face. You know what I mean?
So about the same number of Americans that were on board for the invasion of Iraq.
Oh, I gotcha.
So okay. Any population, I think. Germany in 1939, they were on board. I mean, a good number of them. Of course, there's always those people that are not. There was the White Hand, that group of high school students that were getting, you know, information from shortwave radio about, you know, real instead of German propaganda. And they were printing out a newsletter and passing that out.
Wow.
And they were killed and caught finally and killed, but so, you know, people want to, you know, all God's children gets to be free.
Look, I'm not people, you know, there's a lot of saber rattling right now about a potential civil war here in the United States. There's a lot of conjecture about that. And I really feel like as a population, I think we're too soft for anything like that. Does that make sense? Like, I really don't see anybody giving up their life and their mortgage and, you know, their gym membership and, you know, screwing up their cell phone bill and all these things and, you know, in order to go die. I don't see it happening.
Well, and thankfully, but after a long enough period of really horrible stuff, that's what people will do.
Do you think the propaganda machine of social media is strong enough to sell enough people on the idea that it's like that right now? Because that's the key. You have to convince enough people that we're at the moment, right?
Well, that's the question. And some people have clearly been convinced, you know, Proud Boys and 3%ers and, you know, that bunch. You know, they're practicing with the guns right now.
Kill me.
And I don't know that anybody on the left is really doing that. So
no,
you know, so what if you gave her a civil war and nobody came, you know, kind of thing.
Right. Right. I am not afraid of it because I always assume the cruise missiles would be on my side.
Right.
That's just how I am about it because we don't have any guns. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would only stand to reason that the government would go after the people with guns. You know, they're trying to use them.
And it's more like they're not going to go after their neighbor. They're going to go after the federal government. Even if their neighbor is a Joe Biden fan.
That being said, I'm not putting any Biden flags in the front yard.
You're in Arizona, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm in northern Arizona. So,
oh, gee.
Yeah.
What happened to all the hippies in Sedona? You know,
they're in Sedona.
Okay.
Yeah, Sedona and Jerome is fine. Everything else is a disaster.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. The people up here loved Reagan, so, you know, it was an older population, so they were really into Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, and where are those people? I mean, even Reagan people would be better than what we got now, though.
Well, they're all dying off, but unfortunately, they're being replaced on some level in these areas with kids who are very anti-woke. And of course, it's disaffected young men mainly, right? I mean, we know this from statistics. You know, I heard a disturbing one, like kids under 18, 30% male pro-Trump.
Yeah.
Versus like 8%, 9% for female under. So it's there's something, you know, that part of it, if you want to incite a revolution, that part of it seems to be right on the money, which is those are the kids you need to speak to, right? Are the kids who are 16, 17, 18 males. Those are the ones that are going to have to go die. So
okay, so here's the deal. Anti-woke, and that's really part of the crux of the problem, is they feel put upon. They feel like you if you didn't have the right pronouns for somebody, that they're being attacked, you know. And hey, I just, you know, I want the freedom just to, you know, be an asshole sometimes. So
they're being sold on the idea that they're losing the country, mind you. Okay, now many of them will talk about white privilege as being this fictitious thing, yet on some level psychologically they seem to understand that a more diverse, more equal society means that they are going to lose some chips. Right? I mean,
that's exactly true.
So there's some level of understanding there that drives this.
And then taking that level of understanding and multiplying it by a factor of 10, like, Obama's coming for the guns. They want to destroy religion.
Well, no, you know, the idea of the illegal alien invasion. You know, and we've kept stats on illegal immigration into the country. We've kept those stats for many years now. So we can definitely draw upon that data to make a prediction, to look at how things are going. And you definitely see the year before Trump took office, that's where you see the numbers really go up. And, you know, we're starting to understand now that was because of 100% because Trump was saying, I'm going to build a wall. That's what started the influx, basically. Because if you look at the stats 10 years before, they kind of are starting to gravitate downwards over the previous decade, like less. You know what I mean? The writing was on the wall. Less people were coming until he said, I'm going to put up a wall, which kind of made people go, Jesus, if there's going to be a wall, I guess we better go. I mean, all the people that were thinking about it decided to go. I mean,
So there's something to that. I think there is something to that, but I think the main driver is horrible conditions in their home countries. I mean, you don't pick up and leave with just the stuff you can carry. Your kids, and go on a journey like that with a really uncertain outcome, unless you've got nothing left.
I mean, you risk your life on that journey. Let's not beat around the bush. It's people die. People die on that trip. So
you feel like you're probably going to die if you stay where you're at and you've got to leave.
Right.
And so.
Well, you got to respect the laws of the country.
Yeah.
Got to respect the laws.
So I think that's the answer is dealing with situations in those home countries. And I think to some degree that has happened. El Salvador is not as dangerous as it once was. They what was the other one? They got a strong man in there. And he's really cracked down hard. And the streets are now much safer. The gangs are much less. But they've got a dictator in office. So, which is, that's the other part of what, you know, that side wants. Here, there's too many people that want, they'll be fine with a dictator.
You're talking about in the States?
In the United States.
I still kind of feel like the driver for all of that is how much they know it pisses off liberals, or in their mind, liberals are pissed off about it. And I don't think we're pissed off anymore about it.
Well, it may have started that way, but now there's definitely intellectuals who want what they call a unitary presidency. In other words, a presidency not beholden either to Congress or the Supreme Court.
Jesus Christ. He and Trump's the perfect guy for that. Yeah. Good choice.
Well, yes. I mean, he's their stooge. He's the puppet. But there's people back there, you know, and these actual fascists. See, he's not smart enough to be an ideologue. He doesn't know. He doesn't care. As long as it benefits him, you know, him.
Right.
Then tell me how to do that. And they are telling him how to do that. And so if Trump goes away, that's still there. The American fascists are not going anywhere. However, here's the caveat there. He's got the numbers. People worship Trump. They don't worship
You'd plug in there. I mean,
whoever you'd plug in. Yeah.
Yeah, I really can't even name a name. I mean, DeSantis.
I know.
I mean,
yeah.
Is he the default 2028 candidate? I mean, Ron DeSantis. He came out 2 days ago and said, "Well, I probably won't be a vice president, but I'll definitely think about running in 2028."
Yeah.
So he's already positing a Trump win, and then, you know.
Yeah. So I don't see it. See, I just don't see it. It didn't certainly didn't happen for him this time around.
There's a part of me that's like, put Trump in office so we can be done with this. Do you know what I mean? Get him his second term.
That would be a disaster. Because then the fascists, you know, it'd be Germany 1939. Well, actually, it'd be Germany 1933.
Well, we've had a few years to put in some retaliatory safeguards within the system to prevent, you know, the eventual him not leaving office, even if he does win. There's been some, I can't point to anything specifically, but there's been a few things they've done to try to, you know, make it harder to do certain things like change the rules You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I really don't think, even if he got elected, there's no way you're going to get three quarters of Congress to get rid of the term limit. You know what I mean? Of the states you would need.
Right.
I don't think he's not going to have three quarters of the states. That would never happen. So, you know, I think we're safe from that, even if he does seize power. Right. So elect Hitler.
You might have to come back to California.
I might have to hurry back.
Yeah, right. he'll be one of the refugees.
And I might end up with some weird problem when I arrive at the border, which is I have Arizona plates now. So, you know, I'd be like, hey, look, I'm a California citizen. All right, let's see your California ID. Here's the thing.
Hey, they used to do that back in the 30s. Is, you know, if you're from Oklahoma, you turn back around.
Yeah. How do I?
We might be doing that again. Who knows?
Hey, where's the city hall? Back the way you came.
Yeah, right.
Where's the town? Back the other way.
We can. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't realize that. So, kind of. Not gonna happen, but
if you watch TikTok, it's a disaster right now. There's a lot of civil war talk, there's a lot of seizing power talk, there's a lot of, you know, we tried the voting route, you know,
that's exactly what I'm saying. There's a lot of people that want to take the whole thing by force.
It's a chunk of people. I think it's not enough, but it's a huge chunk of people. Let's not underestimate the amount of people.
Well, that's why a Trump election would be a disaster. They're ready to put all the people in place that they need to just upend democracy. And this is a worldwide struggle right now. And I really, it sounds like hyperbole, but I really think it's the large degree of truth, and that this is a worldwide fight between autocracy and democracy.
Right.
And democracy's got plenty of problems. I mean, look what we're at right now. But I think, I don't know what's better. I don't think there's anything that's better. As the guaranteed mediocrity of democracy, nonetheless, I don't think there's anything better. Because, okay, here's a good example of that. The righties always overreach. And they begin to piss off, you know, not only everybody on the left, but moderates too. And that's the gift of Dobbs.
Right.
And in fact, they've given us a couple of other gifts as well.
Well, the abortion ban was the biggest gift ever.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. If anything wins the election, it'll be that. When we do the autopsy on the 2024 election, I think you're going to find that female voters won the election for Biden, and it was expressly on that issue.
Well, whenever it comes up for a vote, it loses.
Oh yeah, no, the country as a whole. You know, it's got to be close to 70%. It's probably mid-60s if we're
polls tell us that.
Yeah, if we're being honest, probably mid-60s.
But whenever it turns up on the ballot, deep red Kansas, constitutional referendum.
Yep.
And they went for, you know, they went for choice.
Right.
By a wide margin in deep red Kansas. In Michigan, they elected a liberal Supreme Court justice on that issue. She campaigned on that, on the issue of abortion.
Yeah.
First time that Michigan's had a liberal Supreme Court in a couple of decades.
I mean, they're smart enough on the left, right? It's not up to you and me to figure this out. They know this, right? They must know this.
Right.
Right? I mean, if you're thinking about trying to win, then you would think about ways to win. This has got to come up. I mean, this is a divisive issue that they are on the wrong side of for this year.
Okay, so here's another issue that I think they've come out on the wrong side of, and it involves the Biden impeachment over Zip Zero Nothing.
All right.
And this Smirnoff guy who's turned out to be had played them like a Stradivarius. The entire Republican Party was all in, well, at least in Congress.
They didn't care.
Was all.
Like, well, they didn't care. Right? They knew it was bullshit.
Didn't care. This is advancing our, you know, our autocracy plans. Mm-hmm. But hey, the Russians want to help us, you know, win this election. We're all in, even if it is, you know, not passing the border help that they need right now, and because it'll, you know, give Trump. openly admitting
that they're sabotaging the solution that they begged for.
Yeah, that's not a secret. They're just, hey, it'll give.
We don't want to help Biden. They're just saying it.
Yeah, yeah. They'll hurt Americans. So I think there's people at least at the edges that I think democracy is on the side of. You know, liberality.
It has to be a turnoff, you know. I mean, look, this past week, right after the, you know, he got the $355 million fine after that happened.
Yeah, right.
A whole movement supposedly was starting on TikTok among truckers saying, well, we're not delivering loads to New York anymore. Okay. Like, let's boycott New York for 3 years. Since they're going to ban Donald Trump from doing business for 3 years, let's boycott deliveries to New York for 3 years. And it seemed like it was four or five people saying it, little videos, guys in trucks, like maybe this will catch on, and everybody mocking them completely.
Sure.
But what struck me is there's a lot of Republicans in the state of New York, is there not? I mean,
yeah, sure.
I mean, we're talking about millions, right? I mean, it's a lot of
people. talking about overreach. I mean, you know,
but they have no problem starving out themselves, their own people in that case.
George Santos was elected in what is basically a Republican district in New York. Right. And yet they went for a Democrat this time because George Santos.
Right. I'm just saying, I mean, it's like you would sacrifice the needs and let them starve. Right. And it's your own people. Some of your own people. Maybe let's say in the whole state of New York, there's a million Republican families. Right? Spread out for the whole state, right?
Yeah.
Why is it okay to have them starve to also? You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like, it's...
And I think that's one... Once again, it's not everybody that realizes that, but it's people at the edges that they're losing.
Moderates.
Moderates, independents, and they need those.
Well, they need to win moderates to win... To win the election.
Yeah,
They can't just do well. They need to win.
And indications are they're losing them.
There's so many polls now. There's such a glut of information and more disinformation. We're in a perilous situation with that because a lot of people are getting their news from TikTok and Instagram. And you know what I mean? A lot of people. More people than you would be comfortable knowing, you know? It's hard to fight against that. You know, you only see 7,500 videos about how the earth is flat, and then you start to wonder, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Even if you've been on other planets, you start to wonder.
Right? I know I do.
You know what I mean? Like, it's hard. It's, you know, the human brain is set up for good pattern recognition, right?
Yeah.
That's the best thing we do.
Sure.
So it's impossible when you hear something 75 times on some level. I mean, you're recording it every time, right? At what point does it start to fuck up your process? You know what I mean? I think we have some people that are in that category now just from hearing it so many times, you know?
Yeah. Where there's so much smoke, there's got to be fire.
The Burisma thing's great, though, huh? Like, the way that all turned out. That's so awesome.
See, I mean, that's where Republicans overreach.
Just 100% full of shit, the guy.
Yeah. And you've had to align yourself with an enemy we're actually at a proxy war with right now.
Right.
And most Americans are on the side of Ukraine and helping Ukraine, and not just because it's helping Ukraine, because this is the world fight between autocracy and democracy. Putin cannot win on this. He cannot be allowed to win on this. And most Americans think that. So that's another way that I think Republicans are not reading their base actually right.
They're not reading the room. They're certainly not.
No.
Basically because their whole algorithm is be in opposition to the left, right? Whatever the left says, then load in on the opposite thing.
So, it's not whether or not it'll help America. It's will it help Biden? And if it will, then we're against it, no matter how much it helps America. So that's, I don't know, I hate to use the word treason. It's an overused word, but it's definitely treasonous.
Well, you know, I mean, let's say the needle's left or right of center on that one. Yeah, I mean, it's something. But then again, you know, that's all also part of our deal is you First Amendment, right? You know, we should be able to say whatever we want, right? even if it's false, even if it's destructive, you know, as long as it's not in a theater.
That whole deal where they tied the Ukraine help in Congress with the border issue. And okay, so we gave them pretty much everything they wanted on the border issue. And then it was, oops, we didn't think they were going to do that.
I never understood that. They've seized a record amount of drugs at the border. Seized. They seized it. It sounds to me like they're doing a good job of stopping the drugs, right? They're seizing them. I don't understand what the own here is. Look at how bad it is. They stopped a million bushels of cocaine. I mean, yeah, it was.
The fentanyl argument was always bogus. Those are coming in at legal ports. You know, it's not illegals bringing fentanyl in, and they keep saying that it's just not happening that way. You know, it's coming in with in trucks with false bottoms and, you know, that kind of thing.
Look, then the numbers suggest that as time goes by, then this battle between liberals and Republicans sort of solves itself, let's say. I mean, it's not too much longer. There's a lot more left voters coming into the system.
The arc of history bends towards justice?
In this case, it lines up just right. You know, because, and there are a lot of older conservatives, and so it's you know, the math is definitely in the favor of progressive politics, I think.
Well, yeah. That's what I think. I mean, they've lost. All the Republicans who were like Reagan Republicans, and they're not MAGAs. They've been kicked out of Congress. They've been kicked out of the Senate, even. Well, not entirely, but they've been entirely kicked out of the House. And they're losing the Senate. However, I think election cycles are gonna tell on that, though. Once again, when they lose the moderates, look at Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, famous examples. But you know, there's others that this is not my party anymore. My own family. They were all Republican, and we're down to one Republican now.
Kept it for life, whatever you ended up with.
Yeah,
it was real hard to get people to switch.
Mm-hmm.
Or they wouldn't.
Yeah, but Republicans have managed to do that.
Well, and it's okay. The economy, you know, prices have been out of whack for 30 years. So this is not new. This situation we have with income versus cost of living, you know, it's sometime in the 1970s or late 60s, it kind of diverged those lines. It started to become more expensive.
In 1960, first year of. Or it was the last year of Eisenhower's term, they begin to chip away at the high corporate tax rate. And and they continued to chip away at that. And then Reagan got in, it dropped it down to 35%.
Right.
Well, it's now around 15%. Warren Buffett saying, hey, I'm paying less rate tax rate than my secretary. That's not right.
Well, sure. At the very top end, there's very little taxes being paid at all. So, right.
Yeah. And so they that's what they've done. They've managed to transfer. And that's what the wealth disparity is. That's the issue. That's homelessness. That's, you know, our backwards healthcare system. It's inflation. That's why inflation. There's enough people to be able to drive this economy, certainly houses and food. And that's it's food really is where I think people are feeling it the most.
Well, the whole inflation thing is nonsense. That's all from the top. That's from the top down.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, they all got jealous of the oil companies being able to gouge.
Yeah, so right.
That's really what happened. The oil companies gouged, and then everybody was like, well, what about us? And then they all started gouging.
Well, and that's just it. I mean, money, unregulated, devolves to fewer and fewer hands.
So I'm saying is now because of social media, this is a topic, like the fact that the economy is wrecked, even though it's not, you know, you have to stand at the right angle. It's got issues. It has major issues. But it's not wrecked.
I'm wondering, I think there's a lot of people at the top that are recognizing Biden's better for the economy than the Reagan.
At the highest levels, they have to understand that they're making more money now. So, right?
Yeah. When you've done something that helps GDP, and Biden has, and the Fed, credit where credit is due, they've done a decent job of shepherding, you know, money. And so they have to understand, yeah, we're doing great. The economy at that level is doing great.
So then the question is, why would any of them support conservative politics? And the answer to that is kind of dark, you know.
I think so.
The answer to that is they know that with every progressive leadership that goes through, you're getting closer and closer to them being on the hook for healthcare, real taxation, repatriation of money, universal basic income eventually. You know, that's all they're going to pay for.
I think there's a knee-jerk reaction against that, however, that doesn't stand up to the test of history and reality. When the consumer base has more money to spend on houses and food, the rich do really well.
So the question
is, they did just fine during the New Deal.
Would you, then that's the real question. Would you eschew short-term profits, great profits, continual profits versus controlling your scam? Because you need, every once in a while, you need, I guess you need a conservative Republican in there to roll everything back, right? I'm trying to think on, it doesn't make any sense to me as a business owner why you wouldn't want to make the most money versus being in a situation, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So for me,
why I really want there to be a party that looks out for the interests of American business. I want that. I want there to be a Republican Party, and I don't want to be in it. I'm, you know, because we need to push for programs that, you know, help people and keep money at,
I mean, the best situation is really three parties, right? I mean, if you're going to do it, far left, far right, and the moderates, and have it all be equal, the size of the things. So we all have to work it out, and there's no majority for anybody. We all got to work it out, whatever's going to happen. So then you get back to old school politics of, you know, favors for favors.
So why can't that work? It never has.
Well, you know, we got a weird system in the sense of, you know, we can't get matching funds for a third party because we can't get enough third party votes. Every time there's an election, the left puts guilt on the third party saying you're going to elect a fascist because, you see what I'm saying? You know, it's bad. You almost have to put Republicans in power to get enough votes for enough elections.
Well, didn't Ross Perot put Clinton in?
Well, I think you can look at every election and there's some there's some effect there, especially when you look at some swing states. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it's a bitter pill that we'll have to swallow for I don't know how many elections until that group can get big enough. And if Bernie Sanders was 40 years old and all this was happening, maybe there would be a better chance, right? Bernie was just too old.
There's a decent bunch of progressives that are coming up right now.
The very young definitely seem to feel that way. They'll speak out against both parties. So that's your rank and file third party member later, if it existed. I mean, if their third party popped up, I bet you'd be in it. Like an independent moderate party, you wouldn't jump on board with that.
Well, I vote strategically, so I don't know. So
I don't know. You need both, but you can't. I mean, Jesus Christ, no abortions. Do you know what I mean?
All right, the election of 1828.
Right.
And it was Andrew Jackson and John Quincy Adams. John Quincy Adams, who was probably, if anybody was more prepared by their experience in government to be the president in U.S. history, it's John Quincy Adams. He was ambassador to Russia at 14. How is that possible? It was possible. I mean, it wasn't an official position.
He was a hell of a tennis player. I don't know.
Well, yeah. And then he was a lawyer. He was elected to the House. He was in the Senate. He just had tons of experience. And his major opponent was Andrew Jackson, a frontier lout.
How dare you? There's descendants of the Jackson family hearing this going, you son of a bitch.
Right. Well, I'll take that. But but there was a third party, and I forget who that was. He was always the third on the whole tier, but he was able to deny over 50% to any of them. And so Jackson comes in with about 30%, and John Quincy Adams comes in around 28%. Or maybe these are different, but he's just under Jackson.
Right.
But he doesn't get 50%, so it's thrown to the House of Representatives to elect the president.
Right.
And they elect John Quincy Adams, who didn't get the most votes.
Wow, that's pretty jacked up.
Well, right? And so at least they denied this numbskull the presidency, and they called it a corrupt bargain. The people were kind of pissed about it, especially the new states like Kentucky and Tennessee, and so they swept him in 4 years later, and we had the Jackson era, which was pretty horrible, especially for the Cherokee Indians, but and for banking too. He tanked the economy. So anyway, we had a person really who's a decent man too, John Quincy Adams. If you've ever you see the movie Amistad?
No, I purposely did not see that. Yeah.
Well, Anthony Hopkins delivers, Ed, who's playing John Quincy Adams, delivers his speech, and it's just one of the most moral speeches and humane speeches in for human rights that you've ever heard, and it's but at any rate, that's why I don't think there's ever been another serious attempt at a third party after that.
I mean, the closest we get is to Bernie Sanders with the progressive movement, AOC, all that, there was a moment there know, Bernie was the most popular among college students.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it was just 10 years too late for him. I'm saying,
oh, age wise.
Right. Like if he had been 50 when all that had jumped off, this could be a different country. I'm telling you, this could be a totally different country.
Gotta wonder.
Yeah.
Gotta wonder.
Yeah.
However, he demonstrated to Biden, for instance, and to centrist Democrats, wait a minute, progressivism is the winning issue. And he went full on. I think Biden may have been able to get more progressive policies in than maybe even Bernie would have been able to.
Oh, for sure. Because they would have tried to stonewall.
Because Biden's an old school politician.
For sure. Yeah. No, that what we always knew. And that was part of the reason we rationalized that it was okay. It wasn't happening. You know, I mean, you know.
Right.
Well, they're going to.
I felt very bad about it because it was obviously the DNC swept in and said, no, it's going to be Biden. We'll give you a nice seat in the Senate, you know, and which they did.
And no, we'll adopt some of your policy. We'll take a handful of your policies. We'll lean in on what you wanted to do. So,
and they did do that, and it kind of worked. So
yeah, it worked.
I was really upset when it happened, but once Biden got in and started doing his thing, and it was so progressive. Maybe that was all right then.
I mean, I felt a little betrayed when it happened, actually. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people did.
Absolutely.
Like, you got to be kidding me. You know?
I absolutely felt that way.
But yeah, you know, you gain perspective with time and turned out okay.
I didn't know.
So you bring up the 28.
There was no reason to think that he was going to do that. He was definitely a centrist Democrat under even Obama.
I mean, he was talking. He was talking a lot of shit about everybody,
right? And really, one of his biggest all-time biggest mistakes is Clarence Thomas, because Clarence Thomas was. I mean, it was not a done deal that he was going to get in with the Anita Hill thing, and
that was Bernie Sanders' fault.
No, Biden.
Oh.
So Biden was head of the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. Anyway, powerful enough committee that he was able to pull off a backroom deal where he got enough votes, Democratic votes, for Thomas to make it all go away and get him in.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
You know, yeah.
There's plenty of footage of a young Joe Biden saying pretty horrible shit, you know?
Yeah.
That footage exists.
He had really no reason to suspect that he was going to turn out to be a good progressive.
Sure.
And now his speeches are the best political speeches I've heard in, not trying to say my life, maybe. As much as I liked Obama's speeches, especially during the campaign, his initial campaign, and then subsequent ones, they're still platitudinous, you know? There's still feel-good stuff in there. Joe Biden is just, here's what we got to do. Here's why we got to do it. And
he seems, and yeah.
You feel that he's passionate about humane things on, you know, that are right for humanity. And both.
Well, he seems to have, look, he has some awareness of his own legacy. Definitely.
Sure.
I think with some of the things that he's passed, the infrastructure, you know, the insulin cap. I mean, there's things he's doing.
You think that drives his policy at all?
I think on some level he understands he has an opportunity here, which is not to be a lame duck two-term president, but to be one of those presidents people talk about if he can get enough stuff done. And so he actually seems to be. He is doing a lot. He's passed a lot of legislation. He's gotten a lot of things through.
I think it's because he's kind of passionate about what he thinks will help America. I think he's really wants to help America.
Yeah, I think he sees the opportunity the pandemic presented, which was, you know, it's the country's going to be really jacked up for a year. So if you can come in and right the ship, it's a lot of points, you know, it scores a lot of points.
Right. I mean, at that point that the government had to step in and do some stuff that maybe at another time that people wouldn't be ready for the government to do that much stuff. And it works pretty well socially.
We stuck our toe in the
poverty.
Yeah,
we stuck down.
Right, right. I mean, we stuck our toe in the water for universal basic income. Mm-hmm, you know, like the first volley of that war. You know.
Yeah.
Which was, let's set up mechanisms to get people help on a mass scale.
Exactly.
And they did very well. I mean, you know, relatively speaking. I mean, if you look at how all the countries did, you know, we didn't do so great with the deaths and. You know, we kind of botched the first part of it up, but in terms of getting back on track, we did pretty good.
Well, that's because there was so much pushback in America for, you know, best policies as far as keeping your, you know, health. But the economy, inflation was worldwide, largely because of COVID. It was worldwide, and America, because of Biden policies and the Fed, did just about better than any other country as far as inflation goes. And yet they're hollering, screaming inflation, you know.
Anything, you know, like you said, it's this, the scumbag that lied, that guy, you know, he knew that there would be an audience for what he had to say. He knew.
Smirnoff.
He knew exactly what to say because he knew what they wanted to hear. And there seems to be.
Well, it wasn't he that knew what to say. It was the FSB that knew what to say and that was feeding him, here's what you got to say to hurt America.
Right. Because they knew
that's Putin's agenda, hurt America, weaken America. And he's done a good job. He gave us Trump.
Well, he might have killed the Republican Party, too, in the end.
Right?
We might end up with three parties out of this somehow, you know, if it was going to happen, it was only going to happen organically. So, you know, maybe this is a moment. Maybe the disillusionment, Biden gets back in, they pound him for another 4 years. Then you have a moment, the Democratic Party's weakened, you know, you might have some situation where there's a chance there. I really think we need three political parties though. I think so. This is enough of this, you know. This is not politics.
So most democracies do have more than two political parties that can share power.
It doesn't protect you from fascists.
But because they have a parliamentary system.
Yeah, but that will allow a fascist to take hold once in a while. So that there's a downside to that. You don't want too many parties, right?
Right, but if the fascist party only gets 30%, then, you know, the moderates and then the progressives can form a coalition to tamp that down. And that's what happens in most democracies, honestly. That's what happens. That's happening in Germany. That's happening less in France, but even England, you know.
Italy as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So they're there, but they can't get that over 50% where they can really control things.
And that's where we're vulnerable with two political parties because, you know, it just so happens that all of them are Republicans.
Yeah. And it's our electoral. I think that goes away if we get rid of the Electoral College.
Again, two thirds of states, right? You need for that?
It's two thirds of Congress and it's three quarters of the state.
Oh, three quarters of the state. Sorry. Okay. So, yeah, you're talking about at least 20 states that will vote to disenfranchise themselves completely. So it's going to be tough. That's going to be a tough sell. You know.
Well, I mean, but then there's the national vote pact, and where we don't have to get rid of. The Electoral College constitutionally and in Congress, the states can do it on their own, where all they got to do is whoever gets the popular vote, we will award all of our electors.
I see.
To that. And many states have signed on. We're only missing about 60 electoral votes. And to get to that magic number of 270, once enough states to equal 270 on the electoral votes, it's a done deal.
Wow.
The whoever wins the popular vote gets the presidency.
Wow.
So that's a real deal.
Wow, that is, that's exciting.
Right? But it seems to be kind of stalled where it's at for the last dozen years or so.
Well, we've been distracted.
Right. We're stalling about, you know, 205, something like that, when we need that 270.
Look, we could have 16 years of progressive government in a row coming up, and maybe even longer. You know what I mean? This could be this could be a quarter century even. So having a conservative Supreme Court maybe isn't the worst thing in the world in that moment. You know, as a check, as a natural check to, you see what I'm saying? I'm all for progressive politics. I'm just trying to say we need to build a system that can stand the test of time. So, you know, you need to have everybody feeling they have a voice, right?
That's exactly what democracy is about. And the reason when too many people feel left out of the process, it begins to fail.
Right. Then you get fascism. I don't know. I'm trying to take some nuanced approach to this, you know, because I feel like the right answer is going to be nuanced. It's not going to be, you know, we just have to defeat them and then we can fix everything. That is a fallacy. We need to get our minds out of that. I agree with you 100%. We all got to work together.
If you want to go back to the Constitution, that's basically the overriding sentiment. And they wanted to develop a system with, you know, you can learn this in high school civics, checks and balances.
Checks and balances.
So that's why staggered elections in the court and in Congress and in the presidency, so that, you know, one party doesn't get everything all at once.
It's why the Supreme Court is eternal. You know, it's part of that. It's part of that. Those appointments are for life, you know.
That's why Mitch McConnell's denial of Obama's pick was so anti-democracy.
And it became okay. And it was okay in the moment he did it to like half the country or 40% of the country. It was like, okay, cool. Good job, Mitch. You know, it's unbelievable. This polarization.
It was his proudest moment.
I mean, we're voting against our own self-interest, you know?
Well, we usually do. I do.
I don't know.
But hopefully only in increments is the deal. And that's what. So they didn't get it right, I don't think, completely. I mean, the Electoral College never worked right, ever. From day one, there were problems with the Electoral College. And so they didn't get it exactly right.
I am not worried. I'm not worried about the population centers having the most sway. You know what I mean? It's where the people live.
Yeah, well, population centers don't vote. People vote.
People
and particularly
vote.
For the president. You know, that's the president is the president of all the people. All the people should be able to pick him.
And I don't think it's right that one vote should be worth more than another. I don't.
Yeah. As in every other democracy in the world.
I mean, it seems pretty basic, right? We vote. They count. Right? They count them, and then they tell us. You know.
Well, right. The founders distrusted that, and they were worried about the passions of the people, and I think with good cause. Look where we're at right now.
And they also would have been terrified by a modern helicopter. So let's, you know what I mean. They were great. Yeah, right. Look, they were great in their time, but they're not. They weren't right. Gods. They were regular people. You know, they were all regular exactly. People. So
not they
that,
sure were.
Not with, that one guy
the
who was
same
in
kind of. Prejudices that you know that we people have now. There's people that want the government to be strong, and they want the president to have more power than you know, other people do. There's other people that want the government to be able to do things for people, healthcare, food, jobs, that kind of thing. So that same, you know, gamut existed then, and with flawed people trying to figure out the best way to do it.
Well put. James, you know, we kind of went off the rails here a little with this show, but not really.
Well, right. The current situation is rantable. So,
and here's the other thing, register to vote. I think that's really, you know, we could really put an end to all of this if everybody over the age of 18 just registered.
Yeah.
We really
now
could.
More than ever.
We really could.
Which I think current polarization has had that effect to drive more people to the polls. So, one of the reasons why I think the right overreaches and puts too many people off. And
but remember, fascism will always be defeated ultimately. And the reason why is because it's cowardice and they live in the shadow. They don't. And like you said, they overreach and anytime they get a little bit of power, they expose themselves and then we root them out. So,
well, and the level to which they rely on, convincing the population with bullshit.
And when I say fascist, I don't mean wear a mask or, you know, pay for healthcare. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about stripping the rights from people.
Yeah.
Marginalizing communities, like causing distrust and dissension. It is the antithesis of America, of the American project here that we're doing.
If Trump gets in and if the right, you know, seizes the reins of government, they have promised to go after their enemies.
Register to vote, everyone.
That should be chilling, yeah.
Register to vote. You know, even if you're not too into it, you know, I'm saying just give yourself an opportunity to get into it. Register, you know.
Exactly.
You know, give a shit because it's your future. I'm talking to the young people because it's your future. It's, you know what I mean? And someone's got to take care of us too. So, you know what I mean? We're going to need that. And, you know, we need to have a system that can do that. So we all have skin in the game.
The persuasive power of Taylor Swift, you know, 30,000 people go out and vote, register to vote immediately. But
she really should say something soon because there are deadlines for registration. Yes. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
There's still a little bit of time, but now would be a good time for her to start that. I think she's going to wait till the last best moment, you know?
Yeah.
Because she's going to catch a lot of shit for it, and she doesn't want to have to deal with that. So she's going to wait till, you know, I believe she will do it ultimately, but.
Well, it's hard to know exactly how, you know, where she's at on this. I mean, she's certainly against Trump, and she's, you know, she openly says that. But I don't.
Well, the right has been very demeaning. It's not about that. It's about responding, and the conservative media, social media, has been very derogatory towards her from the beginning of that. And
yeah, exactly.
Even though she hasn't said anything,
which has only helped her.
It's only helped her, but I think it's also at a certain point she might be like, "All right, you think I'm a problem? Let me show you what a problem is." You know. You know, hello, it's me. I'm the problem. That's your song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
right. If she ever really got political, wow.
I think they've done enough to already piss her off. So now I think it's strategically she's a billionaire. Let's give her some credit on her business acumen. Okay.
Yeah. No kidding. I mean, the whole, the deal that she did where she gets her own songs back from the record company.
Exactly. Got her own publishing, you know. I'm saying, I think she's calculating, okay, I'm going to have to eat a bunch of shit for this. So what's the last moment where it can have the best effect, you know, register to vote.
Well,
don't let,
I hope so.
I hope so too. James, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave.
And special thanks to our audience. We appreciate you.
Good morning.
Stay tuned for movies. We're going to do movies for sure.
Very exciting episodes coming up in the near future. Definitely movies. And but write in. Let us know. Tell your friends about the show. Like, follow, and share. I'm just kidding.
Smash that like button.
And smash that like button. And we will see you on the next All You Fascists. That's fantastic.